You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Welcome to another edition of the Mystery Crate. I'm here with Chris Cody, with Billy, and with Roy. Woo-hoo! My name is Chris Whittingham.
You need to dance.
And you always dance. You're a dancer. What is this nervous tick that you have? You're always dancing.
No, I need to dance.
I just want there to be energy, but then I get too over the top with it, so I need to tone it down. Yeah. I need to strike the balance of being cool while still bringing energy. It's a tough balance to find. Now I'm doing a robot thing. Like, I've turned into
Is this like just like a manifestation of your nervous energy? Not nervous like you are nervous, but nervous and like your nervous system kind of energy.
I start dancing when I get nervous because I want to give off I'm not nervous. So dancing gives off happy. So I'm just like, hey guys, I'm not
nervous.
Everything's fine.
You guys are making fun of me the other day because when I was reading on the show, I like kind of like bob up and down. And I realized that I do that. And I just can't control it. It's like the manifestation of, I don't know, whatever I'm feeling in that moment.
Yeah. Right. You do seem to rock when you talk, but it's fine, man.
But it's also like it's like an up and down thing. I don't know where that comes from, but there's all kind. Like, I need to have something in my hands. I'm a fidgeter. I'm a fidgeter as well. Do you guys fidget?
With pens?
I'm not a big fidgeter.
Yeah, pens. Yeah, like the cap on every pen I've ever owned is destroyed.
Yeah, you chew on
it. Every single one of them. No, I'm not a chewer. It's like I break the little handle thing.
The long
part
off.
Twist it till it snaps off.
Twist it. Yes, twist it back, then twist it forward. Anyway, today is St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody!
Yeah.
And we decided that as our St. Patrick's Day mystery crate, we needed to turn
to our drunks,
to our resident drinkers.
Yeah.
Honestly, have you ever
been on this? I'm not on this though. Why?
So Roy, no, I'm kidding. Chris Cody, what did your father and you decide to do to celebrate St. Patrick's Day?
Now that we discussed this, you make me think. I think it might actually have been a better bit if Witty and Billy got hammered for St. Patrick's.
Ooh.
You know, because me and my dad, this is our natural element. Basically, to answer your question, I wanted to get my dad in just a more natural element because my dad is really funny, and I think he is funny on the show, but for being an idiot. And I wanted to accentuate his his humor in a more natural way that doesn't make him the butt of the joke. And I feel like at a bar is just when Greg Cody's in his element. So that's what we tried to highlight. Billy, when's the last time you got hammered on St. Patrick's Day?
Maybe 10 years ago? I don't even know. It's a long time. And if you wanted me and Chris Whittingham to be doing this, it would be like a 10-minute episode, I would think. I mean, I don't know, Chris, but I feel like probably a lightweight. And I'm not saying that as a judgment. Like, I would be done pretty quickly, too. I'd be like, okay, green beer, cool. Like,
I'm fun after 3 beers and sleepy after 5.
Yeah.
That's kind of like, that's my rule of thumb.
Get that nice window, though.
I'm a great hang in that window. That fourth beer for me.
Oh, wait a minute. You drink ciders, though.
I mean, I also drink some beers that are not.
Roy, are we anti-cider?
Alcohol in it. I've also now gotten to the point where I'm okay toughing through beers I actually hate around other people. So like, usually like when I hang out with Mike Places, he buys the beer for everyone.
I would imagine that the beers are obnoxious though that he orders.
No, it's actually usually quite the opposite. It's usually like we show up somewhere, oh yeah, we'll have a pitcher of Miller Lite. And I'm like, Miller Lite? And that I can power through. I can power through that urine water.
Have you ever had
green
beer?
I shouldn't say that. It could be a sponsor.
Jeez. Yeah, it could be a sponsor.
I have actually never had green beer before. Because St. Patrick's Day is usually not a thing for me because it is literally the day between both of my parents' birthdays. And so the 16th and the 18th are like celebration days. And St. Patrick's Day kind of feels like the undercard to those 2 days for me.
Happy birthday to your parents, by the way.
Yes.
Well, at least one of them.
Celebrating their birthdays this week.
I feel like they're both listening right now. What percentage of what you do to your parents still listen to?
It has significantly fallen off, yeah. I would say. I don't think anything in podcast form.
Yeah.
Unless I send it to them, because that there's just an involvement there that doesn't usually happen. I would say I'd probably need to be doing a big game on television, like an MLS game or something that was easily accessible in their cable package for them to be listening or watching.
Do you get the sense that they fake some of the stuff? Like, oh, did you hear me on this? And they're like, oh, yeah, no, yeah, you did good. And you're like, let me not ask follow-ups because I don't want to put myself in this position where I know my parents are lying to me about supporting me.
I'm usually well aware of when they're watching something, so I can ask follow-ups at that point.
Yeah.
But usually it's like, my dad is actually a sports fan, so he will provide honest feedback. My mom just goes, I thought you were great, yeah, and that's yeah. the end of that.
Roy, I've noticed that you're not wearing green today, which means that you're setting yourself up for a bunch of pinches.
Yes, if anybody pinches me, it will be... a punch in the old gut in response.
So an old-fashioned punch in the gut.
Punch in the gut.
Like an uppercut? I'm imagining an uppercut punch.
Yeah, it would be most likely a right cross.
Down, I would think.
Yeah, maybe down.
How much green do you guys have in your wardrobe? St. Patrick's Day, it's basically only University of Miami things that are green in my wardrobe.
Well, you bust out that shirt. It's perfect time.
Yeah,
you get the Hurricanes shirt or cap and that little pinch.
Are you someone who, for a holiday, will go and get, the article of clothing, Do you go get something with an American flag on it for 4th of July, or do you, get a Christmas sweater on December 23rd?
No, never.
What percentage of Joe Zagacki's wardrobe do you think is UM clothes?
Listen, I'm jealous of all the UM athletes that get all the free gear. I'd never stop wearing that. But yeah, I feel like if you're Joe Zagacki and you're out in public, you have to always be wearing cane stuff,
Beast,
right? You have
I
to
think.
Always be like...
Beast has to be 95% UM clothes, I would think. For those of you just joining us, Beast is...
Yeah, I was going to say, Joe Zagacki is a local Miami Hurricanes broadcaster. Yeah. I feel like I should say on the front end that my dad and I were not driving during this. Like children, we got dropped off at the bar.
Children get dropped off at bars?
Chris, are you prepared to be COVID shamed? For this
yes, you know. That's why throughout it you hear me reference how many times that my dad has been vaccinated, because I just am very here. I also I say in the thing how great it is being at a bar during a pandemic, only for the fact that everything's separate. You know, at a bar, you think at a bar you're crammed in. Now, I could do a full circle, waving my arms around like this, and I wouldn't even come close to anybody. It was great.
Yeah, but then you would knock your glass over, and that would not be good.
Billy, I feel like it, I see the face, and you could swing your arms around. You're still not getting me to a bar in a pandemic.
No, and I just said to myself, please do that, Chris. Please go to a bar and just swing your arms around to demonstrate how safe.
All this room for activities.
Yeah. Go ahead and do jumping jacks in that bar. See what happens.
Anyway, let's get to it. Me and my dad getting hammered at a bar. Anyway.
Please drink responsibly.
Mm-hmm. That's an important thing to note.
The playoffs have started in basketball and hockey, and there's really only one way that I can enjoy it. For me, drinking Miller Lite while the action is going on makes the game that much more exciting and that much more delicious. A lot has changed over the years, but one thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. So what do you look for in a light beer? Great taste or less filling? For me, it's great taste and less filling. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality, great taste, and only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. A light beer that tastes like beer. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right at your door, visit MillerLite.com/crate, C-R-A-T-E. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
I just wanted to say, while my dad was in the bathroom before him and I start drinking, that my goal in the next 2 hours is to get him to do at least 3 shots. Oh shit, here he comes.
You never know.
It's a beautiful thing.
St. Patty's Day.
Sitting next to a vaccinated Greg Cody.
Yes, I am. I am vaccinated. I feel bulletproof. Is that wrong with me?
So should we start with a shot? No, we're not going to start.
Let's ease in.
All right, guys. How's it going?
Hello.
Going. I'm going to get you to drink.
A Jameson and ginger?
Jameson and ginger. What would you like to say?
Miller Lite bottle.
Right. Really getting festive with it, I see.
I'm a Miller Lite man. You know that. And you know it.
Even on St. Patty's Day.
Well, you know, I'll have you put green food coloring in it.
I'm going to do a double for the Jameson and ginger for a couple extra bucks.
That works.
How about that? Look at you, doubling it up.
When in Rome.
Dublin. There you go.
St. Patty's.
Here's to you, son.
Cheers.
What are you drinking, iced tea? What is that?
Straw. Jameson and ginger.
Uh-oh. On top of the morning to your laddie.
You just going to do, like, Irish impressions the entire time?
Top of the morning to you, laddie. The blondie to you.
So, like, we're here Tuesday, and St. Patrick's Day is tomorrow. I'm real excited about the quick edit turnaround for this project.
Yeah, good luck to you.
But I'm a little disappointed in the, you know, the ambiance of this place on a Tuesday, just hours before St. Patrick's Day.
Right, yeah.
Like, I feel like your Miller Lite should be green right now.
It should be green. You know, nobody's wearing a shamrock hat right now. I'm looking for the green plastic top hat.
That guy over there is wearing a green shirt.
He is. You're right. More power to him.
By the way, I love being at a bar during a pandemic much better than normal because everyone's so spaced out. Like, I don't feel crammed to people. Right. Like,
yeah, little elbow room, little bow room. BR. You're
pleasant.
Right. Yeah, it is pleasant. Plus, I don't hear any Irish music.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
But it's a beautiful thing nonetheless. I'm always happy to be with my son. You know, he's drinking a Jameson. I'm drinking a man's beer.
Miller Lite?
Yeah. But, you know, more power to you.
How do we feel about the solo person at a bar?
Oh, like over there?
Yeah.
Well, I always assume he's waiting for somebody. He's waiting for, like, a leprechaun or something.
Now you're just forcing St. Patrick's Day references into the conversation
really
where they don't fit.
Right. Well, look at him. He's eating a bowl of Lucky Charms.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird.
That is weird that this bar is offering bowls of Lucky Charms
right.
to people.
Who else is doing that?
It's the Tuesday before St. Patrick's Day. They haven't put up any decorations yet. No one's drinking green beer, but yet they're handing out bowls of Lucky Charms to everybody.
I know, it's crazy.
Like, they should get their priorities a little, like, rearranged.
I love this bar.
We need to do a shot.
Yeah, we're clinking it.
Are we just going to go straight Jameson? What are, like, St. Patrick's Day shots?
You know, I don't know shots. I'll have a Miller Lite shot. Is that such a thing?
I was watching the TNT Inside the NBA documentary. It's really good. You should check it out. And Charles Barkley said that he pre-cuts his like steak and chicken.
What?
When he's like eating a dish. He pre-cuts the way a child would.
Oh my God.
It's like drinking a beer and pre-pouring each sip into different shot glasses before consuming it.
Wow. That is sad. It makes me think less of Charles Barkley, quite frankly.
I know. Like the perfect guy, Charles Barkley.
Yeah, no, he is. How does he explain that? How does he justify that?
You know, with him, he kind of like had a smirk on his face that I'm not sure if it was one of those things where he was just like, yeah, I said that a couple years ago, and I'm just like sticking with it. Like, I'm like going for the bit.
Yeah, but why are you gonna admit that if it's not true?
Because it's funny.
Why do you go there?
Is it funny? I mean, we're talking about it.
I just don't
shocking.
Get that. It's baby-like.
I said on the air once that I drive slow in the left lane.
On purpose?
I don't do that, though.
Right, why'd you say it?
I was just because I thought it'd be shocking and I thought people would be like annoyed with it, and they were. I still get people tweeting me, don't take anything Chris says serious. He drives slow in the left lane.
Well, as somebody who has driven in the passenger seat with you, I can tell you, you don't drive slow in any lane.
Right.
Because I have white knuckles driving with you. I am pressing my left foot on an imaginary brake whenever I'm in the car with you. It's unbelievable.
How many different old man puns and jokes are you going to make about how fast I go?
I mean,
I got white knuckles. I hold on for dear life when I'm in the car with you.
I mean, I'm rolling down the crank window just to get some fresh air. Because
I miss a crank window. I'm old enough that I do remember crank windows.
Do you? That's hard to believe.
I remember having races. Yeah, at the beginning of like my childhood, I'd say like 8, 9, 10, there were still crank windows.
Right. So you would have a race with Michael against who could roll the window down fastest?
Yep.
Wow.
I don't know how much I would pay to have an old-fashioned crank window race again. I wouldn't pay that much for it.
No, you really wouldn't.
What other things that have been, you know, made obsolete do you miss just the act of doing? Do you still flip through a newspaper?
You know what? I haven't for years. It's so weird because I am a newspaper.
Right.
You know, I write for the newspaper.
So you click on things and read it now.
Yeah, yeah. No, I haven't had a newspaper flap on my lawn for years. And I'm sort of embarrassed to say that. I'm sorry you brought it up.
No, you want me to cut this from the podcast?
Yeah, it's okay. I would miss a book in my hand. Like, I'm not a Kindle guy. Like, if I'm reading a paperback book, God damn it, I want to have a paperback book in my paws. You know, I want to turn the pages myself, and I want to put a bookmark in it.
I like paws. Paws is a funny way to say hands.
It really is.
There's a bunch of different funny ways to say hands.
Digits.
Mitts funny.
Yeah. Let me get my mitts all over that.
Yeah. I guess there's not that many ones.
No, there really aren't. Digits.
Paws. Paws and mitts are the funniest ones.
I think paws leads the league in that. Hi, Letty.
I'm thinking we just ordered. There's a green tea. We can get a green tea. You know, that's where we're going to start.
A green tea?
It's basically just a mini version of what I'm drinking right now. It's just a basically Jameson mixed drink.
All right, well, shot. I want another beer as well.
Yeah, of course you do.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I've been without a beer for like 10 minutes.
Wow. And ladies and gentlemen, the complaining has begun.
No, I mean, you know, the guy's busy. I get it.
This is why you can't hang out with your dad at a bar like a friend. He just starts complaining and becoming an old man.
No, I haven't complained. I'm just glad my waiter has, you know, the mask over his nose, because that drives me crazy. I don't want to see your nostrils. I haven't seen anybody's nostrils in like a year and a half. Nor do I want to. Keep your mask over your nose. Yeah, the guy you ID'd as a loner now has somebody talking.
This double Jameson is strong.
Man, you were nursing that
thing. I mean, it's a strong drink. Every sip is like tough to...
I'm telling you, it better be tough. Better be tougher than it looks, because it looks like watered down iced tea. I could hitchhike to Milwaukee in the time it takes me to get this beer.
Yeah, he's going to have another beer. And can we do two green teas? Yeah, yeah.
Sure. You guys are big boy shots.
Huh?
They're going to be big boy shots.
All right. I wish I could explain how large these shots are.
They really are. They're like triple shots.
Like, I don't... Like, we're going to have to do half.
Yeah, we're going to sip a shot here.
No, we're not sipping. The goal is to drink half of this in right. One swig.
All right.
When's the last time you took a shot?
It's probably with you. I mean... I don't do shots at my house.
This is a green tea. It fits. It's Jameson. It's Irish whiskey. It's called green tea. It's got the color green in it. St. Patrick's Day.
It's really not green. You know what it sort of looks like? My urine.
Thank you for saying that right before we take it. If this is what your urine looks like, you need to drink more water.
Okay. All right. Oh, nice clink.
Yeah. Wow. I did it all.
Wow. Well, you didn't do quite at all.
Really? You're going to say that on the thing, and like for that little amount, you're not going to give me that?
Yeah, it's a little drizzle there.
There could not be any less. I could pour this on your hair right now, and you barely feel it.
Oh, please. I had a haircut today, and it was awful. Just disaster.
That's the worst. When you get a haircut, and like midway through it, you're like, I don't feel good about this. What are three things in life you wish you could have like a mid-something rewind?
A haircut would rank up there, you know, because I went in there and I'm like, I just want it off my ears and shorter in the back. And she points to a picture of, you know, like a guy on the wall.
Brad Pitt?
Who looks like Justin Timberlake or something. And she's like that. And I'm like, yes, God, please. Just like that. All right, let me finish part two of my shot.
Yeah, come on, let's go. Jeez. But it tastes good, right? I mean, it's for a shot. I mean, it's pretty
it's benign.
It's
yeah,
pretty enjoyable.
It's fine. Yeah. That's a man mountain over there. Look at that guy. Christ almighty.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I just noticed him. God damn it. That's what I'm talking about. When I talk about hockey goalies putting people like that in the goal to literally block the entire goal,
there's...
I have that man in mind.
Yeah.
I will pay you $100 right now to go over to him and ask how much he weighs. And I'm guessing the number starts with a 4. You know, I'm looking around this bar right now, and it's a little discouraging. and not for the first time. There's like 12 people at the bar, and nobody is older than me. I'm looking around. I'm giving myself the benefit of the doubt. Maybe that guy over my left shoulder with the gray hair, he might be close. But, see, you don't know that feeling.
No. You're smiling right now.
I'm smiling because I'm used to it. You know, it's just, it's so weird to all of a sudden be the old guy. You know? I mean,
That must be tough.
It is. It's tough, and it's weird because, like, I grew up, I was a young guy.
As we all are.
I was a young guy. You know, I was a young sports writer. But the weird thing to me is, and this happens, and you'll experience it someday. I see, like, when you see news programs, and you see, you know, so-and-so is arrested, and you see a picture of a guy, and you're like, wow, what an old guy. And they give his age, and he's like 4 years younger than you. That's what hurts me. That's what hurts me. Because, you know, when you look in the mirror, you don't see yourself.
Yeah.
You don't see how other people look at you. But it's just weird. Aging is weird. And, you know, it's St. Patrick's Day. You know, we're getting sentimental.
Beats the alternative.
There you go. Thank you. You're learning, kid. That's my boy. Wow, that guy is a man mountain. I mean, seriously.
A mountain.
He's got no neck. He's got no neck. Chicago White Sox used to have a player named Walt Williams. I've got one of his cards in my collection. And he was named, nicknamed No Neck, Walt No Neck Williams, because his head was right on his shoulder.
How many Greg Codys in an octagon versus that guy would it take for you to win a UFC fight?
Probably a dozen.
Really?
Yeah.
I was thinking like 5.
Really?
I mean, if you were really, like, out for blood and, like, you know, your life was, like, threatened and you, like, needed to defend your life, you know, like, 5 of you guys could, like, you know, just jump. Like, 3 of you just jump on him. I feel like 3 Greg Codys could maybe get him to the ground and then the other 2 just start, like, beating, kicking his head.
If there's 5 of me, you know, 2 of us are kicking him in the knee. 1 of us is slapping him on the ass.
All right, maybe you don't know the right technique to do this.
I think one of us is hitting him on the back of the head.
Now you're all, like, leveled.
One of us is pulling his ear.
You're already all are on the ground.
I know how I fight. How do you fight?
When's the last time you were in a fight?
I can honestly say, I don't know that I've ever been in a fist fight.
Even I've been in a fist fight.
I think I've been in slap fights.
Slap fights?
Kick fights, but never a fist fight.
Kick fight?
Yeah.
Can I see a menu? Thanks. We could get the warm pretzel. It comes with beer, cheese sauce, and English pub mustard.
I'm full, so order whatever you want, and I'll have like 2 bites.
Can we get the pretzels?
What are you rooting for?
FSU.
Yeah.
Undergrad at Masters.
Nice.
Every win's a win.
Greg Cody making friends at the bar.
You could probably force me to have 1 more beer. And then close me out.
The classic Greg Cody move of, I'll have 1 more beer.
Well, you know, 1 more just to be polite.
He had 2. He's going for the 3rd. Right. And I guarantee you he ends up with 4.
I mean, I want to be polite. I want to respect the bartender.
The best part about this is this thing's going to be chopped up in a way that makes it look like you had 4 beers in about 16 and a half minutes.
Yeah. Okay. You know,
we're not going to give the context of how long we were actually here drinking.
Right. I got the broad shoulders, son.
Broulders.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, it's me. Hello. Thank you.
All right.
Oh, wow, the cheese is...
Wow, that is very...
Saucy cheese.
Yeah, it is. Oh, my God. When you have a dish like this, you respect the dish. You respect the pretzel. By eating it without any cheese or any accoutrement. It's fantastic. It's one of the best pretzels I've ever had. And of course...
You say that about every food. Whenever you're enjoying something, you say this is top 5. Like, you're about to say this is the top 5 pretzel you've ever had.
It might be. And the key to a pretzel, as we know, salt.
I love how you told me you were going to have 1 bite.
Really good.
And you've already had 6.
It's super good. Wow, really good. What's our guy's name?
No clue. I'm not a big fan of waiters and waitresses and bartenders insisting on telling me their name. I never call you my name. Like, I'm either going to flag you down with a finger, like, you know, a pointer finger, not a disrespectful finger. Maybe an excuse me, like, I don't want to be rude, you know what I mean? But, like, when am I going to be like, hey, Carl?
Yeah, I disagree
with
that.
Hey, Steve, come here. I never remember it either. You know what I'm more of a fan of? At the end, if you're the waiter and you feel like you've had a good vibe with the table, there's no harm in throwing out, hey, I'm Carl. If you're ever back in here, ask for me. You know, on the back end, like, now that we actually experienced, like, an hour of, like, bonding and, like, we've gotten along, my name's Carl, by the way. Like, I feel like I like you, you like me. Whereas, like, early on, like, it's just like, hey, welcome to this table. My name's Carl. Like, I don't remember you said. Just take my drink order. That's why I'm pro name tag. If you really want my name, there it is. But, like, don't make me go through that.
I will tell you, when I'm getting ready to leave a tip, there are probably five things that I consider when leaving a tip. And one of them is, do I know that guy's name? Or that woman's name?
You're just
name?
Saying that to mess with me.
No, I'm not. I'm actually not.
Whether you know their name affects how much you tip?
Absolutely.
It's one of those things that I get your point that it's just nice to say, hey, I'm meeting you, my name's blank. But my point is it's unnecessary. Like, I don't need to know the waiter's name. I know what my waiter looks like. I can flag him down with my hand if I need to. Whenever he walks by, I can give him the body language of, hey, I need you. I don't need to know the name. Like, it's just a formality.
I couldn't disagree more.
Be a great waiter and don't tell me your name.
No. I couldn't disagree more, and I think we've seen examples in the bar tonight where, do you know our guy's name? He just walked past us right now. He's walking past us, Love Creighton Center. We don't know his name, okay?
My point is, he hasn't really been great regardless of whether I knew his name or not.
Okay.
My opinion of him would not be better if I knew his name.
Okay, but here's the thing. Would Greg Cody like one more beer? It's a rhetorical question. The point is, if a guy whose name I don't know is walking past me, I'm uncomfortable, you know, gesturing or pointing or whatever. But if I know his name is Fred, I'm going to be like, hey, Fred, one more, please.
Nobody's named Fred anymore.
Well, that guy is. It's just that he never told us.
Greg told me he was not hungry. He was going to have two bites of this pretzel. Luckily, you've helped me eat it, because I would not have been able to eat it. But
I actually think it's pretty good. Pretty
it's really
damn good.
Yeah. And it's eating up the alcohol, too. Dude. Keeps us sober a little.
Maybe.
Because I think we got to do another shot. You know, it's St. Patrick's Day.
I mean, a pretzel heavily salted got me written all over.
This was such a good decision by me to record this on Tuesday. And then go home and edit it so it can be released like early on Wednesday.
I think it is smart because
we probably should record this like last week so I didn't have to like edit while I'm like hammered. Greg Cody, you breaking the seal?
I'm on my second one. You haven't gone yet, right?
You're an old man. You just go pee a lot?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. How about you?
I'll wait till I get home.
Do you get up in the middle of the night to pee?
Like very rarely. And if I do, it's because I went to sleep drunk, honestly.
Really?
Like I only, yeah.
Did you sleep through the night?
Isn't that the most stereotypical old thing ever of like you start peeing, like you have to go to the bathroom like six times throughout the night when you're older?
Yeah, I mean, I never go through the night.
Are you a two a nighter? You're like a one time in the middle of the night and then one time like early in the morning?
I would say I'm a two or three a nighter.
Wow. What about mom? Not to get into her personal details on a podcast.
I mean, I'm asleep and I have no idea.
You don't even talk about it?
No. No.
I think we've been spotted, by the way.
What do you mean?
I just see an awkward fan interaction in our future. What's your strategy on talking to strangers at a bar? A couple minutes ago, you engaged the person next to us in like kind of just like a, hey, who are you rooting for type thing.
Yeah.
Do you ever, like, what's your thought process on, like, going in for that? It's always a dangerous game because, like, you don't want to, like, when you're sitting right next to somebody, you don't want to, like, have that awkward obligation. Like, now are we talking now? Like, do I have to talk to you the whole time? Like, was that a one sentence and done? Like, we're just one and done?
Yeah, and he seemed like a friendly enough guy. And the other thing is, he was by himself in a bar, so, you know.
That's one of the things. Like, you do tend to talk to that person. The person that's alone, you do tend to want to engage that person. Because it's like, I think everybody can relate to being in a group at a bar and looking across the bar at that one dude just sitting by himself.
Right.
And you can, like, very easily see him looking at your group longing for that type of... And at some point, you feel bad because of how much fun you're having with your group of friends that you feel the need to engage this person.
Right. Even though in this case, our group was just you and I. But, yeah, I mean...
It's dangerous... My point is it's a dangerous game, the engaging of, like, a stranger. Because, like, you never know. All of a sudden, you're, like, you know, hearing about some guy's life story about, you know... How he used to live in Denver, and then he got fired, and now he lives in...
Right.
He moved to Milwaukee, but he's down here for a couple weeks.
Yeah,
His story's not over yet, because he had a hard time, and his cousin, and he had to move down here because his sister just got divorced. Right. So he's watching her, and he doesn't know anyone here.
Yeah, and if that happens, I'm like, all right, I gotta go to the bathroom, and then he never sees me again.
But then he talks to me, and he's like, wow, your dad really goes to the bathroom a lot.
I know. Here's the thing. And I used to be that guy because I used to travel a lot.
And you would just start... You would be the guy looking for someone to talk to at a bar?
I mean, I used to travel a lot. I'd be alone on a road trip in a foreign city in a bar.
Why aren't you hanging out with other writers?
I'm antisocial.
You're a loner. You really are.
No, I am. I hate company.
Did you ever, not purposely, but just not go out with, like, the gang... And then, like, end up at the same bar in a random city, and then, like, three other writers walk in, and you're like, hey, I'm here alone. How's it going? And then all of a sudden, you end up having to awkwardly hang out with them the rest of the night because they're, like, pity. They're like, oh, shit, Greg's here. Yeah. Hey, Greg. How's your night? What'd you write tonight? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's happened. It has. That exact scenario has happened.
Where you want to leave before they see you, you're trying to like...
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's why I'm the kind of guy who would go into a hotel bar and order two or three beers to go up to a room. You know, and in a case like this guy at the bar here, where I leaned to my left and I said, hey, who are you rooting for or whatever? You notice I didn't say, hey, what's your name? Where are you from?
You established, like, I'm talking to you about this one thing and that will be it.
Yes.
Whereas if you engage him with... Hey, how you doing? You hanging out here? Like, you know, if you would have engaged him on, like...
No, it's a careful conversation to have in a bar. No doubt.
So, for our next shot, are we going to go back to the green tea? Or are you thinking we should, like, step our game up and just go Jameson? Jameson will, like, burn your chest and we might get a payoff of you, like, yakking at this bar. Next to people that recognize you. I feel like at this point it's a safe time to say, we're not driving. We will be getting picked up. We're like children. My wife is coming to get us, and we'll be driving you home and then driving me home.
Thank God. That is good to say.
Yeah. I Ubered here, and my dad got dropped off from his wife. We're children, and we knew we were going to be drinking for this bit, so we decided to do it responsibly.
Yeah, that's important to say.
So shortly after we're done recording this, we will call our ride and be like, hey, can you come pick us up now?
Yeah.
Don't judge us, people. Just let us be us.
Rick Aggie.
My dad's a vaccinated man.
I am a vaccinated
Look at you.
Man.
Do you feel good?
I feel great.
I say we just stay with green tea. We don't need to go straight JMO.
That's fine. I don't care. Taking it.
I feel like you're getting drunk. You're not a shot taker. Look at you, vaccinated, just coming to bars. You're just, like, painting the town red.
Yeah.
Why do we paint the town red? What is that saying?
I'm actually painting the town green tonight for St. Patrick's.
That's true. Why do you paint the town red, though?
I don't know. Is that a phrase? Paint the town red?
Why do we say paint the town red? Yeah. The expression is American slang, meaning to go on a reckless debauch, to wildly extravagant. Originally, the metaphor applied to bonfires painting the sky or scenery red. The phrase was helped into popularity by the fact that to paint, i.e. to paint the nose red, was an old slang term for drinking.
Wow.
So it's like when you're like a whiskey nose.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Look at us, painting the town red.
We are painting the town red.
Thank you.
The gentleman down here bought you a beer.
Thank you.
Miller Lite.
Thank you. Especially in this garage.
Thank you.
appreciate it.
Can we get
What's the guy gotta do to order some shots?
Listen, if you hit his name, instead of saying, could I get a, you could have said, Jack.
I feel like we've made a hard cut here, and we're cutting to a much more drunk Greg Cody.
It's possible. Anything's possible. Should I go to those guys on the left and need to go thank them, or how does that work?
I think you're good right now, maybe on the way out.
I never know how to handle that. I love to be grateful, but not to show gratitude.
Right. Can you get two more green teas?
Sure.
Can you, like, hey, can you actually, if those two guys down there want like to be included, they can be included as well.
What did you say?
I'm including them. I'm getting them shots, too.
Okay. If you need me to pick up the bill tonight, I'm willing.
It was expected.
Really?
Yeah. What is actually? It's, my dad was wondering. It's
Jameson, peach schnapps, sour mix. That's it.
Peach schnapps sounds awful, doesn't it?
You guys.
Cheers,
you guys.
Cheers. It's a big ass shot. What are you doing?
I'm taking a half a shot. I still got a beer.
Come on.
That is a big shot, right? I mean, that's not a shot. That's like four shots.
It's a big shot.
Hey, that kind of thing.
So, like, my goal at the start of this was to do three shots with you. We did two, but they were both gigantic shots.
Oh, my God.
So you did the equivalent of, I'd say, at least four shots.
I mean, they're not shots.
Yeah.
They're like glasses full of liquor.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
How do you feel like we did with this? Like, do you feel like we entertained the people? We're getting to the point where it's almost actually St. Patrick's Day because it's almost midnight, and I still have to edit this thing. And
I feel like the people
we were recognized, so like that kind of makes us look cool, but we didn't really get the audio payoff of it.
Right.
No, so
somebody bought us a drink, which is great. I feel like we invited people to sit at a bar with us on almost St. Patrick's Day.
Almost St. Patrick's Day.
And imagine that, you know, I'm wearing a beautiful plastic green hat with a shamrock on it. I'm celebrating my roots because my wife...
You're completely nude outside of that.
I'm nude. I'm not Irish, but my wife is half Irish. So I'm celebrating a quarter of my being just by being here, and it's fantastic.
Let's go. End this with you taking that, the rest of that shot.
Right now?
Yep. Look at you. You never know.
Yeah, baby.
The Codys are drunks. Here's where there's a PSA at the end of this that's like really sped up where...
Neither of the Codys were driving home from this. They were picked up by their spouses. They were both drunks, but neither of them drove. We just want to make that clear. Have a good day, everyone.
Remember the best vacation you've ever taken? Make your next one even better with Get Your Guide. With Get Your Guide, you can book over 100,000 unforgettable experiences in the U.S. and around the world. Want to see the Grand Canyon from a helicopter? They got you. Watching a wrestling match in Mexico City? No problem. Or how about a guided tour of Rome's ancient ruins? Wherever you're going, whatever you're into, book your next travel experience at getyourguide.com.
Greg Cody getting drinks purchased for him at a local establishment. I hope this becomes a thing. I hope that he's like Norm from Cheers, but at every bar in South Florida. Yes. Every bar that he walks into, and like Greg Cody all of a sudden is just mobbed by people constantly trying to buy him beer.
Greg!
Like, this would be the logical conclusion of his career and burnished reputation as a beer drinker.
Does that happen to him often, Chris? Like, do people recognize him and buy him things when he goes places?
Yes, I would say. At a local bar, sports bar. I feel like sports bars and sporting events are really the only places, I don't know about you guys, that I tend to get, hey, because, you know, it's just that demographic. But yes, that does happen to him a lot. But even getting recognized in a pandemic, they didn't come over to us. Normally, they would come over and there'd be like a bunch of group hugs. It was just a beer from a distance. It was perfect.
What does he do? Like, he always accepts, I'm assuming, right? Because that's kind of like a slippery slope, right? Like, because if you don't accept, then you're kind of rude, and then you're like the jerk where it's like, I sent Greg a beer and he didn't drink it. What a, you know.
I know Greg is too cheap to do something like this, but have you ever been tempted to, like, after getting recognized at a bar, be the guy, the magnanimous guy who's buying drinks for the table, buying around for other people, going to the bartender, be like, hey, that table, super nice to me, buy, next round, put it all on my tab.
I actually thought you were gonna say be the guy that, like, slips out and, like, when they're done, like, their tab was completely picked
ooh,
up.
Ooh, another great one. Yeah. Another great one. I love that. I've always thought about doing that, but I've always felt like it would be weird, or it wouldn't be well received, or it wouldn't have the intended effect of, like, making me seem like this incredibly magnanimous person.
My concern with that is, though, like, that seems like a very kind, nice gesture, right? And then you leave, and then, like, you go a day or two later and you check your statement at the bank, and it's like $400. Like,
they what added drinks to the tab.
Yeah, and that's, it's just like, well, I totally misread this situation. They seemed like they were wrapping things up, and then they ordered a whole, like, four more rounds and a bunch of apps, and then it's like, this is not, like, thank you for the beer, but, like, I just paid $6,000 because you guys had a night out for 40.
Just tell them that current round that you're currently drinking, put it on my tab. That's
oh, no, you
just
can't tell them. Round. No, you got to do it, like,
I mean, that's honestly a discount off of everything they had. Yeah, I would absolutely.
If you're swinging your bleep, you got to swing your bleep, you know?
Oh, man. No, like, can't swing all the way, you know? Like, maybe like a half swing.
No, but the story's so much better if you do it without telling them. Like, you just, they find out later on. But also, then you're kind of trusting the server, whoever it is, to not charge them for that round, especially if you're not there. Because only one person knows that you did this.
The one thing about leaving, it's a bit like throwing some money in the Starbucks tip jar, where, like, you want to make eye contact
with
the barista.
They need to
make
see
sure
it.
That they know. My hands hovering. Like, you've held the money over the tip jar before, waiting for at least to be in the peripheral view. So there's a certain amount of, like, you do want to get the credit for it.
Is that, see, that's an interesting one. Is that a jerk move by the person tipping? Like, why am I a jerk for wanting the person to see? I want the whole idea of the tip is for them to look at me and say, that person appreciated the job that I did.
Yes.
So, like, that's why I'm doing it. I'm not doing it because it's like, I need to know that I gave this dollar. It's just more of the, hey,
it's a recognition.
I'm giving you the recognition, so I want you to have it.
Yeah, but that's like on GoFundMe or whatever, where you don't, like, you make sure to put your name.
I always put my name.
We need to destigmatize wanting credit, right?
For because charity? There is, like, for niceness?
No, well, why not?
What's wrong,
like,
with...
No, but also, like, if you give to a cause, to, like, let's say a friend is doing one of those GoFundMes, and then you do it anonymously and they don't see it, then they don't know that you care about them and have contributed money to their cause. Like, there is a certain amount of, not, you know what? What's wrong with wanting credit?
Yeah,
you're a good person that's tipping at Starbucks.
Do they
you're a good
not
person.
Know, I don't know how that works. When you do that online, does the person receiving it not know? So, like, it's just, like, I don't know where any of this came from.
I think they do, actually. I think like, even if it's not publicly available, I think the person who's running the GoFundMe sees the name of the person.
Well, that's good to know. Because I always put my name because I'm like, I need them to know. I mean, well, I need at least them to know. I'm good with just them knowing. But
let me ask you a question. If on a popular GoFundMe, like one that, like, is, you know, has got, like, on social media, people are seeing it. Do you scroll through the donations to see what would be an adequate amount to give? Like, where do I fall in the Dan Lebatard category, or do I fall in the a lesser category in terms of givers?
I have kind of a bone to pick with that situation, right? Because people do that, right? You go through and you're like, oh, this person donated, that person donated, this person, that person, right? And you see, like, wow, they donated, let's just say $1,000, right? And you're like, well, I'm going to look bad if I only donate $25, right? But then if you start playing, like, the proportion game, it's like, well, my $25 is really a higher percentage than someone donating, like, $1,000 that's at, you know, like, a rock star. Like, let's say I'm in a thing and I'm, like, looking like, wow, Lady Gaga donated $1,000. Like, I don't want people to be like, well, Billy's no Lady Gaga. You know what I mean? And he only donated $30. And it's like, yeah, but Lady Gaga makes tens of millions of dollars a year. Like, what's $1,000 to Lady Gaga? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got to find your level. You got to find your level in that context. And sometimes it's Lady Gaga and sometimes it's Billy.
Yeah.
I mean, you're kind of undercutting Lady Gaga considering that she spent $500,000 to get her dog back.
Well, not on this particular hypothetical GoFundMe. She only donated $1,000, right?
No, okay. Well, I'm just saying, like, not in this hypothetical, you just, yeah. you just like cut her knees out from under.
Not to go full not Dan me. Feeling bad for not to go full Dan feeling bad for Mickey Arison during the pandemic, but don't you feel bad that like there's no amount of money that Jeff Bezos could donate without going, that's not enough. Like if you donated $1 million to a worthy cause, people, well, why don't you donate $10 million? And if you donated $10 million, they'd go, well, why don't you donate $100 million? Like there is no amount of money that would ever be enough unless it's just the entire of sum of his wealth. Yeah, just all of it.
And then people would say, oh, you did it for the taxes.
Exactly.
I got to be honest. I haven't spent much time thinking about that.
The playoffs have started in basketball and hockey, and there's really only one way that I can enjoy it. For me, drinking Miller Lite while the action is going on makes the game that much more exciting and that much more delicious. A lot has changed over the years, but one thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. So what do you look for in a light beer? Great taste or less filling? For me, it's great taste and less filling. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality, great taste, and only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. A light beer that tastes like beer. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right at your door, visit MillerLite.com/crate, C-R-A-T-E. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.